We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
I'm doing fine, man. Just on my way downtown.
Joe and I are both alumnus of the Dispatch Broadcast Group.
Indeed we are.
Yeah, good seeing you, man.
Do you get something for that? You get like a pin or?
Used to get a lot, not so much anymore.
Now,
now you get nothing. But used to get a lot.
I got a mug.
Did you get a mug? God bless you.
I did.
I stole a bunch of stuff on my way out the door.
Now we're talking.
Hey, Joe, what was, if you had to point, I mean, obviously it was a lot of things, but if you had to point to one thing that was the difference in game three between games one and two, what would you say it was?
Well, if you're talking about differences between the games, it would be George Hill and J.R. Smith. You know, they came to play. They knocked down shots. They changed, you know. If you look at it, the Cavs made 17 threes. The Celtics made six. So, you know, there's a good chunk of what went on. So that's the difference. But there is a key that began in game two, and you know, I've written about it, a bunch of people have written about it and talked about it, but this thing of defending Horford differently may have changed the series, and we'll see what Boston counters with tonight. But so far it's almost reminding me of the 2015 finals when the Cavs got up to an early lead, and in the middle of game three, a game that the Cavs actually won, Steve Kerr went to David Lee and he found something there, and that changed the series by going small. The Warriors won the rest of the games, and that was it. You know, the Cavs were doing a really good job on Horford in game two with Tristan, and then just totally lost their minds, you know, middle third quarter into the fourth quarter, and everything kind of fell apart. But the game plan then was sound, and then in game three they just executed flawlessly, and I am wondering if that is how the series turns, is guarding Horford that way.
You've observed this Cavalier team obviously for a long time, and in turn you've observed the Celtic team and Brad Stevens in a long time. How do you envision he counters that tonight?
Well, there's a couple things, and this, there's been just kind of some debate, you know, in the media back and forth over the last 24 hours or so. He could start Baines right away. That makes the Celtics bigger. It keeps Horford at the four, at least in their offense. And theoretically, the idea would be is that Baines is so big and so bruising that Ty would be forced to switch Tristan onto him. But the Celtics have tried that a couple of times so far in this series, and it doesn't work. Ty is sticking to this. You know, they'll let Baines get what he's going to get against Kevin, and just try to help Kevin and get him going on the offensive end rather than move Tristan off of Horford. So if Steven sees that, then his other counter, which I think is much more intriguing, is to start Ojale. And the reason is for that is the Cavs want to play Korver against Ojale, but that would kind of be like the carrot in front of Ty. Does he take the bait then and go to Korver and go away from his big lineup? Because then that unlocks Horford. I am willing to bet that the one thing Ty will not do is let Horford get free. So it will be interesting to see what Stevens does. I'm leaning towards Ojale, but they could go with Baines there too.
Joe, what is it about that matchup? Why do you think Tristan? Because Tristan's not. It's not like he's like this elite defender. I mean, he's a solid defender, but he's not like a superstar that constantly shuts guys down. Why is it? Do you think he has so much success against Horford?
Well, he can be an elite defender, and he certainly was a plus defender for the last couple years. This year, obviously, being a whole different ball of wax. But the thing about Tristan, you know, first of all, he's motivated right now. He's in great shape. And then what he does as a basketball player is he is quick enough as a big to get up into Horford where he catches the ball, which is way up at the top of the key. He prevents some of the slip screens that Horford likes to run, and just kind of by disrupting Horford that far out, disrupts the entire Celtic offense. Kevin can do that on occasion, but he can't get to it consistently. And Tristan, you know, if you look at the numbers, like, Tristan's been guarding Horford for a long time in the playoffs, and he's had a great amount of success. I mean, we're talking about an all-star and out here, and for whatever reason, you know, Tristan's really done a good job on him.
Joe, this seems very clearly to me a confident series, aside from the thing that maybe you think just unlocked it, the way they're handling Horford. But beyond that, when I look at the Boston, because of the youth, right? I mean, aside from Horford, a lot of kids running around out there. And when they get it going, boy, they feel pretty confident. Conversely, the Cavs, from my vantage point, seem like a really mentally weak team, aside from LeBron, that can get pushed one way or another, blown where the wind takes them almost. It would seem to me that a quick start, obviously, would be what you would want tonight. And I'm curious, coming to you, I guess, is what I'll ask you is, from LeBron's perspective, what will his mindset be? Will it be ultra-aggressive LeBron, like we saw in Game 2, or will it be more to get his guys going a little bit?
Well, they had such great success with LeBron starting on Jaylen Brown in the first quarter. You know, Jaylen barely, I think he took an 8 shot in the first quarter, didn't score until the second. And that really unlocked a couple of things as well. It unlocked, you know, the Cavs, I think, in transition a little bit just because they got so many more stops. So you would like to see LeBron kind of start that way, playing really good defense, looking for guys to get shots. But he also scored 12 in that first quarter. So,
yeah.
LeBron's ready to go. He had a bad game in Game 1, but since then he's been on target. I don't know, you were talking earlier about the confidence stuff. The Cavs have 4 champions on their team, and I think that if we get into a game that's close late, I would greatly favor the Cavs, just because they have been there and done it. I think when you sort of what happened in Game 2 and even Game 1 is when something starts to get away from them and they don't feel they can win, oftentimes this is a team that packs it in because they've been there so many times. They understand that there's another one to get. I mean, when they've had to come back, you know, the games against Toronto in the regular season, you know, they almost beat the Sixers when they were down by 30 or whatever. So they have it in them to win like that. It's just they also know the value of kind of punting for the next one.
Joe, you know, obviously a big conversation soon will be whether or not LeBron's going to leave. Nobody really knows the truth, right? We're all just guessing to some degree. I mean, you know him better than most people do, but still. But I'm curious, 2 things. One, how much of a factor do you think it is whether or not the Cavs get past Boston? And 2, do you think he's already decided? Not what decision he's made, but do you think he's already decided whether or not he's going?
No. I don't think he has decided. I think I know what he wants to do, but you know, I think he has to decide. He has to decide how much of this is about basketball, and then if it is a lot about basketball, if it's still all about basketball, then what is it that the Cavs are going to do this off season to kind of, you know, to regroup? You know, and that's funny to say regroup when you have as good a chance as anybody to get to the finals. But I think, you know, LeBron knows what this team is. He knows that it's him and that he's got some really, you know, savvy veterans who know how to play off of him. And since they've been winning, like, that's the way they've been winning is that's the formula. He knows they need to get more dynamic to remain a championship contender, guys. But I've been saying, I don't know how much this decision will be about basketball. I think it will be less about basketball than any of the previous couple, just because the kids are at the oldest point in their lives. Junior's going to be going into high school in a year. And, you know, Savannah her family lives in Northeast Ohio, and none of that means that he's coming back. But what it does mean is that there are real things to consider here beyond just, well, who's got the best roster to beat the Warriors, because that answer might be no one.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
That's what I've been I mean, I don't see any move. That's the problem. You watch this Warriors team play, Joe. You've been covering this league. You've been observing sports your whole life. I'm curious your opinion on this. I have never followed a team in any sport, maybe 1995 Nebraska football, who I was a fan of as a kid, that made me feel as helpless as this Warriors team makes me feel observing them play. There's no counter to them. Does that make sense? I mean, you cover the league on a day-in, day-out basis. What's the feeling in the league? What's the feeling when you watch the Warriors play last night? I mean, you'd almost got to go, geez, nothing we can do there.
Yeah, I mean, that is – there's a lot to address there, Bo, and I agree with all the points that you made. You know, you start with we in the league. I mean, we look at the Warriors and we just say, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, like, they should be untouchable, and pretty much they are. You know, if the Cavs are fortunate enough to get to the finals, I mean, you give them a game at best. And I actually, that has made me wonder at times, you know, because the Cavs have been there so many times and it's so difficult and, you know, they're tired and they know what's waiting for them. Like, would that weigh into how much effort they put into this? And thankfully for Cavs fans, that does not seem to be a factor. So good for them. But, you know, it's tough. And then the second thing is the Warriors, you know, there was a way you could get them before Kevin Durant came. And when Kevin Durant decided to sign there, that ended all that. Yeah. And it's like, you know, we killed Kobe Altman for the roster as it is now. And, you know, you killed Griff for you know, the JR contract and the Tristan contract. But that team, the team that they had, was built to be a champion. It was. And there was nothing they could do about there was nothing anybody could do about Kevin Durant signing there. And once that happened, there's no answer for that.
Nope. Joe, great stuff, man. Thanks for the time. Appreciate
it. Thanks,
Joe.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.